This is an ad by BetterHelp. What are your self-care non-negotiables? It's hard to make time for the things that keep you healthy, but being consistent with self-care is like working a muscle. And when life gets crazy, that muscle keeps you strong. Therapy is the ultimate self-care, and BetterHelp makes it easy to get started with affordable online sessions you can do from anywhere. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month.
Get access to actionable news and market research with all the information you need to invest smarter and profit faster. Start your free trial today at pro.benzinga.com.
All right, Ross. What's going on, man? Happy Friday.
Yeah, I love this show.
All right, and today's the big day. ETF is live. Let's throw it up there. Ticker GK, Golf Kilo, air horn for that one. Hold on.
Yeah.
There we go. Boom.
There we go.
All right, so you launched the ETF.
Yeah.
Why now? Tell us a little bit about what's in it. I mean, there's some high profile names in there I want to talk about, but you know, why do the ETF in the first place? You obviously have a big business without it.
You know, I started in the business when I was 23, and I was kind of like on Schwab as this stock trader in the early 90s, and it's very similar to the time we have today, where so many young people have been introduced. You know, I was on this call yesterday on Twitter with a lot of people discussing the Robinhood IPO and the good and the bad of Robinhood, and they kind of convinced me of the good part of Robinhood is that it was sort of the gateway drug for this generation to the stock market. And now many of those people are expanding their knowledge and wanting to become investors and not just get ripped off by Robinhood, and they've realized, hey, you know, there's a way to do this that's better than, you know, buying and selling options, hopefully YOLOing, you know, some amazing trade, because we all know that that's not a way to make a living. And so strategic investing. Yeah, listen, I'm all for risk taking, but you got to be strategic about what you're doing.
I agree.
If you're really going to make money consistently. So
yes.
I'm not a big believer in relying on luck to build your wealth. So, you know, now investors are seeking much broader levels of knowledge, young investors. And that's really been awesome for my firm. And so my firm, you know, we've never seen so much demand for our services thanks to the Robinhoods and everybody else, especially when they blew up, because all of a sudden people were like, oh, you mean like they can turn off my trading? And I was like, yeah, but we won't turn off your trading, you know? Yeah. And it's like, we've gotten so busy and our assets have really grown dramatically, but everybody has to work with a financial advisor at my firm. And there's just a large portion of investors who don't want a financial advisor, and they are trading on Schwab, TD, all the different platforms that exist. And, you know, I was like, how do I reach those people? Because many of those people want to invest with us, but don't want to move their money over to our custodians and such. And so the ETF was brought up to me by the Advisor Shares people, Noah and Dan, who run Advisor Shares, brought it up to me. And then they fully explained to me the tax advantage of ETFs, which I didn't really understand, but essentially you can trade tax-free inside an ETF structure. And so it's almost like 1035 exchanges. So like when we made our big killing on Tesla last year, we had to cut our position down to make the allocation reasonable, and we created a lot of taxes. I think it was something like 10 to 20 million just in taxes. And so we started assessing our positions like NVIDIA and Shopify. And if you look at my accounts for my clients, they have these really big embedded gains over, let's say, 5-10 years. And then I can't rebalance without a tax, you know, situation. So with the ETF structure, that doesn't come into play, because you can trade stocks for stocks, which doesn't cause a tax consequence. And you can only do this within an ETF structure. So for an investor trader like me, I was like, you got to be kidding me. I'm paying so much in taxes on my own personal account. Now I can just put my money in my own ETF, trade until I'm blue in the face, and there won't be any taxes unless I sell the ETF. And this is a huge advantage because it's essentially a tax-deferred vehicle. So you have an actively managed ETF that has, you know, right now we have about 43 positions, but it's somewhere between 21 and 50 positions. So it's somewhat concentrated, and it's multi-thematic. So we work around different themes. So Callaway falls into our sports and entertainment theme. And so, you know, these nine themes are the drivers of what we think will be the roaring 20s over the next decade. And that's really the goal of the ETF, is really to provide people a core growth vehicle. It's to put the, they can put their speculations around the GK ETF, you know, own a little GameStop, a little Doge or whatever people are trading, but then have a core position that they know is focused on the future and will be ideally the stability in people's portfolio.
Yeah, and like Robinhood gets so much hate, but I feel like what you're mentioning at the end is so much of the value that they provided. You know, like you get people started and then they figure out, yeah, I should own ETFs. Maybe I want to do some large cap stock picking. And if you want to have some fun and make some swing trades around the side and be engaged, you know, go for it, is my opinion. But that tax advantage in the ETF is huge. I hadn't thought about that either.
I mean, I didn't really fully realize that, but like, you know, like Vanguard dominates the ETF business. And and essentially what I've learned is like Vanguard actually does nothing for its investors every day. You know, like when you buy a passive index and you pay even a 0.01% fee, you know, they lend out all these shares. They make a lot of money on these ETFs, but they actually don't trade or do any research or anything for their clients. And it just seems crazy to me that you'd buy an ETF that's the S&P 500 and pay a fee for this when they actually don't do anything for you. So when the ETF was created, they made this tax-free structure so when they did rebalance, it wouldn't have a tax consequence. But nobody really realized that you could turn this into an active vehicle and really take advantage of this. And I was like, why not? And it was like, oh, well, the big players don't like the transparency. They don't want their positions posted every night. And I said, why not? You know, it's in the 13Fs. It's in, you know, like how much does it change? You know, and I always post about my positions and I file 13Fs. And so I was like, why wouldn't I just post it every night? You know, and that's held a lot of people back from doing these things despite the obvious advantages. So I was like, forget it. I'm doing this, you know?
So we're going to get the ETF holdings and the trades daily then. So sort of like the Cathie Wood model. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And I want to talk about a couple of the positions. So guys, I'm on the site. I'll drop the link in the chat in a second here. Tesla, biggest individual stock position in the ETF. Last time you were on, you basically made the case. You said any time that Tesla's below $600, which it was on that day, buy the stock. I didn't. You know, clearly it's moved the right direction since then. But bull thesis on Tesla. Can you give us a little bit of that?
Yeah, you know, I was kind of nervous because I knew they were coming out with deliveries on the morning I'm launching. And I'm like, if they blow deliveries on my first day on the market, I'll cry, you know. But of course, they beat. You know, Tesla is probably one of the most amazing opportunities for investors over the next decade. Obviously, it's a volatile stock and it's a very, I would say, combative stock for many reasons. But when you just scrape away all the BS and you look at what they're doing, it's just they're so far ahead of the competition, if you even call it that. I just got the Tesla Model S Plaid. I call it a fighter plane. It is the most incredible vehicle that's ever been made in every category. It's so fast. It's a fighter plane. And this car is going to create a whole new refresh for all the people who have Model S's now. They're like, what do you mean? I got this old Model S. I got to upgrade now, you know? And so that's really bullish for Tesla because last quarter they had zero Model S and X deliveries because they were revamping the line and the chip shortage and stuff. And now they've started deliveries. I think they had almost 2,000 produced in Q2. And now we expect that number to go up to more, hopefully like 12,000 in Q3. So we're now expecting about 225 to 230,000 cars for Q3, well on track to reaching their goals. And that's not even talking about Cybertruck and Semi and Berlin, you know, and full self-driving.
So is the Tesla story for you, is it just about cars or does it get beyond cars as well?
It's AI to me. Tesla is the greatest AI experiment ever created. The neural net and the supercomputers that's driving all the data from all the cars that are on the road is the most challenging AI challenge that anybody's ever tried to achieve. So think about it. If you think about it backwards, Elon's trying to solve the most difficult AI problem first, like driving in LA and traffic on full self-driving is got to be one of the more challenging things a car could do. Many drivers fail at this every day and crash, you know? And so like, and many die every day in crash. And so like,
Right, how's your driving record? Are you a good driver?
Great. You know, I haven't had a ticket in years, and I'm really worried about getting one right now. And I've really
don't
never
get that plaid then. Don't get the plaid.
No, I have the plaid, my man. That's
that's why you're worried. Okay, I get it.
Yeah, I'm driving this crazy fighter plane now, and it's insanely awesome and fun. I'm going down to Orange County tomorrow. I get to do the 73 freeway, which is basically empty. I'm going to try to break my land speed record, which is 135 miles per hour. Please don't tell anybody this, though. So I'm going for 150 tomorrow. Don't tell my wife. But, you know, if Branson's going to space, Gerber's going 150.
There we go.
That's
boom.
What's happening. And I'm going to beat Branson. That's right. I'm going to beat Branson. I'm going to beat Bezos. I'm going to the lower orbit, but it'll be awesome.
All right. You might get some lift off at 150. We'll see. We'll take some wings on it.
150 is like nothing for this thing. I'm going to get there in less than 3 seconds to 150, I think, maybe four. Hopefully I won't be in jail this weekend. So anyways, so the
that's going to hurt the ETF asset growth.
So if you can solve driving, you can solve everything. That's the way I look at it. And that's what I think Elon's trying to do. And so when you think about Tesla on a bigger level, autonomous driving is coming, whether it's in a year or 5 years, we can debate it, but it's coming. The Tesla taxi is coming. This is sort of the longer term vision of Tesla. But on the short term, we've got great vehicles, great technology, and just one of the coolest vehicles you could own. And it's really captured the imagination of the younger generation that everybody aspires to have a Tesla.
Okay, there we go. I like it. We got a McLaren to drive around Detroit for a couple of days.
I love McLarens. I love those things.
I was so scared. I didn't want to wreck it.
Well,
I got it. Everybody at the office still makes fun of me because Jason and I were the only two who got to drive it. We were the only ones on the lease. And I wouldn't hammer it. I was too freaked out. I love those cars.
I love the McLaren. I think it's a beautiful car.
Absolutely. All right, but what about Roblox? We talked about Roblox last time you were on. I don't see it in the top holdings.
No,
it's
sort of at the bottom because of valuation. It's probably a 1% position, I think we put it in.
Okay.
And it's mostly because of valuation. Yeah.
Okay. So like the company, like the business, want to see it come down to load up on it.
Yeah. I love it. I think it's the YouTube of the young generation. It's a platform. It's not a video game. It's a social platform that's safe for younger children, which you cannot say about YouTube. Parents are spending a ton of money on this thing because they feel like it's safe, and it is safe. But the way they've incorporated social features as well as the ability to build and make games, you know, my own son, that's like his goal this summer is to build a Roblox game. He wants to learn how to program, and I think it's great. I'm like, go for it. You know, he wants to take a class on building games.
And if you think about jobs
of the future, this is a legitimate career. You know what I mean? And my kid likes these things. So the fact that you have a social platform that people can build on and learn, it's safe for children. It's easy to monetize. And there's the whole world out there. I think they have 40 odd million users now. They can easily get to 100 million users in my mind. But like YouTube, the content just keeps getting created by other people and consumed by other people. And the revenues pass through to the creators, just like YouTube. And I think for a video game YouTube model, I think it's genius.
Yeah, I think it's compelling too. I have similar valuation concerns as you, but it's nice that you get to see it firsthand, right? With the kid. How old is your son that uses Roblox?
My 5 and 8 year old play on it every day, and now they insist on getting their allowance in Robux. They don't want dollars. So my kids are completely digital currency people. They see Dogecoin. There's a Dogecoin game on Roblox.
There we go. Okay.
I swear to God. My kids were playing this the other day, and I go, what are you guys doing? And it was like a stock chart, like moving up and down, and it was like a sell button, and you like gather up money and you sell your Dogecoin. I said, at least you're selling and not buying, right? But my kids were trading like this Dogecoin game, and I'm like, some genius made this Dogecoin game, you know, on Roblox. And my kids know more about cryptocurrencies than the people at Goldman Sachs and, You know, yeah. It's crazy because of the ads on YouTube and the games now on Roblox.
Well, if they top tick Doge, don't be too disappointed. You know, just keep the education going.
Yeah, I've got to get my nanny out of Doge. That's what I've been working on.
And you want to hear the Hendrix, the Hendrix Star Spangled Banner before you have to hop off. We got our guy.
Yeah, I like it. Foxy Lady.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less, like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/insights. That's oracle.com/insights. Oracle.com/insights.